Welcome. Today we're doing an intensive deep dive into something called service design. It's powerful, but maybe not always fully understood.
That sounds about right.
And we're looking at it through a really specific lens. The Service Design Winter School, or SDWS, is happening in Poznań, Poland, November 2025. Our mission today, to use the info from Collegium Da Vinci to, well, first get a handle on what service design actually is, then we'll break down the structure of this SDWS sprint and really help you, the listener, figure out what to expect from this pretty intense week-long program, both intellectually and practically.
Yeah, that expectation part is crucial. Because, you know, people hear design and they often jump to visuals, graphics, maybe product look and feel, a nice app interface. But service design, it's more like the hidden machinery, the engine behind the whole experience. It's really about tackling big, messy, systemic problems. We're designing the choreography, you could say, how all the pieces interact, making sure the service delivers real value that people can actually use and that it lasts. And this winter school is so important because it's all about doing. It's where the theory slams right into the reality of a real client and, crucially, that 5-day deadline.
Okay, let's unpack that core idea straight away. In this context, what is service design? How is it different from, say, UX design, which people might know better?
Right. So the core idea, based on the materials, is that service design helps create services or maybe radically improve existing ones so they solve real problems and deliver value people genuinely use. If you think about UX, it often zooms in on a single touch point, a button, a screen flow, how you interact with one part of an app. Service design zooms out. It looks at the whole system, often across different channels, you know, online, offline, over a long period of time. It's the method that tries to make sure the service is useful, but also feasible to deliver, especially at scale.
So we're talking much bigger picture stuff than just deciding button placement. Higher stakes, maybe.
Absolutely, much higher stakes. The materials point to some great examples globally. Think about hospitals in Norway trying to figure out patient flow. That's incredibly complex. Or public services in the UK trying to make interacting with the government less, well, painful. These are areas where if the design fails, the impact is huge. It can be catastrophic.
And yet this kind of thinking is embedded in things we use daily, probably without even noticing it.
Exactly. That same structured approach is behind the customer support systems for giants like Apple or McDonald's, or the massive operations at places like Xerox, IBM. Big, complex stuff. And it's also the kind of thinking that helped launch totally new services. Think Uber, Booking.com, Lime Scooters. If it involved coordinating lots of different people and channels smoothly, service design was probably involved in planning it out.
What's really interesting, especially thinking about Poznań as the host city, is learning how this is being used in Poland. It's driving innovation not just in e-services, like online stuff, but also in traditional offline services too. Seems like that push for efficiency, for sustainability, is making it super relevant there, locally and nationally.
It really is becoming critical everywhere.
Okay, so if service design deals with all this complexity, how does someone get up to speed quickly? Where do the materials suggest you go for a really concentrated dose of this?
Oh, well, that's exactly where the SDWS comes in. It's essentially an annual intense boot camp, a week-long design sprint. And it moves around different European cities each year. It's got quite a history, actually. Started back in Antwerp in 2016, then went through places like Kaunas, Ljubljana, right up to Malta in 2024, so it's well established. And this Poznań 2025 edition is what they call a BIP edition. BIP stands for Blended Intensive Program. That's important. It runs Monday, November 17th through Friday the 21st, and it's hosted right at Collegium Da Vinci CDV, which handily is just like a 13-minute walk from the old Market Square in Poznań. Pretty central.
And the format itself seems key to the whole experience. 5 days, intense teamwork, cross-cultural. What makes it so intense? What are the driving factors?
The intensity definitely comes from the constraints. You've got international student teams, right? They get paired with expert coaches, and then they're given a real specific challenge from a live partner organization. And the brief is tough. Go from basically zero, like, initial understanding and research, all the way to a tested, validated prototype that's ready to hand over. In just those 5 days, it's a pressure cooker.
Right, let's hit those practical details listeners need. The BIP designation you mentioned, Blended Intensive Program, that comes with some major benefits, doesn't it?
It really does. Because it's a BIP, there's actually no participation fee. Mm-hmm. And they provide lunches during the work days, so it's essentially expert training for free. But, and this is clear in the materials, you do need to cover your own travel and accommodation costs. That part's on you.
Okay, good to know. And for anyone looking for academic credit, what's the payoff for getting through this intense week?
Well, if you actively participate, and that includes some required online sessions before and after, plus the 5 days in Poznań, you get a certificate of attendance and, crucially, 3 ECTS credits. So it's formal recognition of that focused effort.
All right, let's get into the engine room. The methodology. The materials lay out a 6-phase process. This is where we really understand what's expected day by day, right? The mantra seems to be real partner, real users, real impact.
Exactly. And it all kicks off Monday morning with the partner briefing.
What happens then?
The partner lays out the challenge, the context, the constraints, basically defines what success looks like. Then the teams dive into this very structured 6-phase sequence. It's designed to keep things moving and stop teams getting, well, lost. Phase one is emphasize. And this isn't just reading reports, it's active research. We're talking user interviews, mapping out all the stakeholders involved, and doing something called service safaris.
Okay, hold on. Service safaris. For listeners maybe not deep in the jargon, what does that actually mean during a sprint like this?
Yeah, good question. It's essentially like going undercover. The teams go out and actually experience the existing service or maybe a competitor's service exactly like a real user would firsthand. It makes sure you really understand the pain points, the frustrations, the emotional side of it all. You feel it yourself. Then comes phase two, define. This is where all that raw data gets turned into something useful. You generate insights, figure out the real jobs to be done for the user, and get crystal clear on framing the core problem you're trying to solve.
Moving from problem definition to actually solving it in such a short time, it sounds almost reckless. How does the program stop teams spinning their wheels on the wrong idea, given that intense time pressure?
That's actually the magic of the speed. It forces you to iterate quickly rather than aiming for perfection straight away. So phase three is ideate. This is about generating lots of different ideas, divergent concepts. You map out the potential service flow using service blueprints, and then you quickly score and prioritize which ideas seem most promising. Then boom, phase four, prototype. And the key here is low to mid fidelity. You're not building a polished final product. You're quickly mocking things up to test your core assumptions using things like concierge tests.
Concierge test. I'm guessing that's where you kind of fake the service, role play it.
Exactly. One team member might pretend to be the technology or the person behind the counter, basically simulating the service interaction with a test user. It lets you see if the proposed flow even makes sense before you build anything complex. And that leads straight into phase five, validate. This is where you take your prototype to actual users. You run walkthroughs, you carefully capture evidence what worked, what broke, where people got confused, and then you iterate. You refine the prototype based on that feedback rapidly. And finally, phase six is deliver. That's the big moment, a live demo of the prototype, showcasing it to the partner and the jury, and clearly outlining the recommended next steps.
Wow, that structure is intense, but sounds incredibly effective. And the teams don't just walk away after a presentation, right? They leave behind actual assets. What should participants plan to deliver by that Friday?
Yeah, it's tangible. Obviously, they deliver the tested prototype or maybe prototypes. But just as important is the evidence pack. That bundles everything up. It includes the key insights from the research, the final service blueprint mapping it all out, and really critical notes on feasibility like, can this actually be built? And viability, does it make business sense? Plus, all the presentation materials needed for a proper handover. You're giving the partner a real actionable starting point.
Okay, let's switch gears to practicalities. Segment four. Say you've signed up, you're committed to this intense week in Poznań in November. What essential stuff does the school say you absolutely need to bring?
Right, the tacking list. It focuses on being efficient and connected. Definitely your laptop essential for research, design work, building the presentation. Good quality headphones are also key. You'll need them for focused work, especially when you're trying to immerse yourself in research or just block out distractions. Critically important. Poland uses Type-B power sockets, 230 volts, 50 hertz, so you absolutely need Type-B adapters, don't forget those. And a nice practical touch, the university has drinking water dispensers, so bring a reusable water bottle. Stay hydrated.
Good tips. And anything on the sort of team dynamic or vibe?
Yeah, they mentioned the team makeup is intentionally international and multidisciplinary, which is great, right? Brings loads of different perspectives. But it also means you need to be flexible, culturally aware, especially when you're all under pressure together.
Makes sense. And the dress code reflects the work itself, thankfully.
Yeah.
Comfortable, workshop-ready clothes. It's a hands-on sprint, not a formal conference. But speaking of pressure and maybe letting off steam, the provisional schedule looks like it balances the intense work with some necessary social time, too.
Oh, absolutely. They seem to know you need that balance. The integration actually starts before the work week even kicks off. There's a welcome evening planned for Sunday at a place called Grota Gaming Pub starting at 6 p.m. Then the work locations themselves vary a bit. Monday's opening is at CDV, the main university building. Tuesday, for the immersion and research phase, they move to a place called In Studios. Then Wednesday and Thursday, it's back to CDV for the heavy lifting ideation prototyping.
And the evenings. Sounds like they're crucial for unwinding. Looks like informal pub meetups Monday and Wednesday. And a city tour.
Yeah, Monday includes a city tour slash integration session at a bar. Wednesday is another informal pub night. But Tuesday. Tuesday's social sounds like a real reflection of the intensity. The plan is Rajbur Bub, or somewhere similar, where you can apparently throw axes and knives and play games. That sounds like a pretty energetic way to blow off steam after wrestling with complex problems all day.
Throwing axes. Okay. That certainly says something about the potential stress levels. But there's a proper break plan too, right? Before the final push.
Yes. Thursday evening is set aside for a trip to Termi Moltaski. Those are the big thermal baths in Poznań. A chance to properly relax before the final presentations.
And that final push is Friday morning. Presentations to the jury and the partner from 9:00 till about 11:30. Then the official closing right after. It really is tacked end to end.
It is. So just to kind of wrap up what we've covered, the service design winter school from these materials looks like a really high stakes, fast paced environment. A pressure cooker, like I said, it seems meticulously designed to get the most out of cross-cultural teams, forcing them to apply these design principles very practically under a serious time crunch, all focused on delivering real solutions that have been tested. It's like a deep immersion in how fast you can push innovation.
It really is an incredible structure. Seems built for maximum learning in minimum time. Which brings us back to you, listening. Maybe you're not planning to go to Poznań this November, and that's fine. But consider this. Think about where projects often go wrong in your own work. How often do we kind of rush past those first crucial steps? We might skip the really deep empathize work or not spend enough time properly defining the actual problem. We jump straight to brainstorming ideas or building things.
Happens all the time.
So here's the final thought. What could change for you if you applied the full rigor of just those first two SDWS phases, the empathize and define steps? What if you really committed to the service safaris, the deep stakeholder mapping, properly analyzing the jobs to be done before you jump to solutions? Could slowing down that initial discovery phase actually help you prototype faster, fail smarter, and ultimately solve the right problems more effectively in your own professional life? Something to think about.